Thank you. Turn to Matthew chapter number 11 tonight. I feel led to preach this tonight. I think you ought to preach what you feel led to preach. Amen. And I really feel led to preach this. I'm going to be preaching the subject tonight. I'll give you the subject in a moment. I'll be dealing with John the Baptist. Jesus said this. I didn't say this. Jesus said it. Said he's the greatest of all. Somebody help me preach. I'll read that in a minute. And I'm going to deal with something John the Baptist dealt with. And you might say, well, I ain't going to deal with that. That don't affect me. Well, if it affected the greatest Christian that ever walked in shoe leather, you can bet it's going to get you one of these days. Somebody help me preach. So look at me and look at this scripture and Matthew chapter 11. If you're there, say amen. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Help us, Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you. Now this is Jesus speaking. And more than a prophet. For he is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say, look what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In our text tonight, we find John where we are sometimes in life, discouraged. Come on, Pastor. Have you ever been discouraged? I want to say this tonight in the beginning. Life isn't always fair. Right. If you think life is fair, it's not always fair. Sometimes life's not fair. Hey, by the way, sometimes people are not fair. And let me give you two verses. Can I do this? I'm building me a porch. I'm going somewhere. You're going to like it when I get there. Go over to Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4. I'm talking about discouragement. I personally believe discouragement is a demonic spirit. See, to be encouraged is a blessing. But the devil hates an encouraged Christian. Somebody say amen. He hates it. He hates anybody that's blessed. See, what discouragement is, it means to be unplugged from encouragement. In this passage, we'll see the greatest Christian was discouraged. But look at Numbers chapter number 21 and verse 4. If you're there, say amen. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I'm not going to lie to you. Life sometimes throws you a curveball. And if they tell you that Christianity is an easy thing, it's not an easy thing to live in a hostile world. Yeah, by the way, we're in a pagan, antichrist, anti-God, humanistic, heathenistic world today. And this way that we're living is not the easiest way. Sometimes it brings discouragement. You may, listen to me, you may get passed over at work for a raise. Or somebody gets a promotion and you didn't. Now you can do one or two things. You can live for God anyway, or you can let it take you away from the will of God and away from God. Somebody help me preach. I mean, we get discouraged sometimes when we get sick, when we have trouble, when we have financial situations. Hey, there's always something going to happen in the way. But then I want you to notice Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And verse number 28, I'm going somewhere. Y'all going with me, I hope. Deuteronomy 1, 28, if you're there, say amen. Whither shall we go up? Listen to this. Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Not only are we discouraged in the way, but sometimes we get discouraged by the witnesses. Man, I tell you what, they some Christians, they need to really just keep their mouth shut. You say, who affects you much, the world or some mealy-mouthed Christian who can't keep their mouth shut? Mealy-mouthed Christian. Man, they'll mess me up all the time. I expect the world to be demonic. I expect the world to act like a devil. But I don't expect the blood-washed child of God who ought to be living right act like a devil and talk like a devil and be like a devil. And you say, Preacher Smith, does that discourage you? Lord, yes, I like to put a sock in their mouth. The sock that came off his dirty foot, that's what I like to put in their mouth. Under God, you got dirty feet. You got ugly feet. Not dirty feet, ugly feet. Let me give you three things tonight. Go to our text. I want to talk about this demon that fools with you. Let me ask you in this room, how many of you in the last year has at least been discouraged once? Raise them up. And those didn't raise your hands, a liar. Because we all are battling discouragement. We find in this passage the greatest Christian discouraged. Number one, I want you to notice the place of discouragement. Where was he? He was in prison. A place, come on now, of confinement. John the Baptist done everything right. He preached a message that most of us Baptists don't preach today, but this one does. And that's repentance. How many of we believe we need some more preaching on repentance? We need to tell people they need to repent or perish. I mean, we got a bunch of people that they profess they're saved, but they live like a devil. I tell you what happened to them. They never really repented, and they never got under the spout where the glory came out the first time. Right. Good preaching, Reverend. John the Baptist preached on repentance. He got locked up for exposing sin. He doesn't talk about hair and his girlfriends and his adulterous ways and got him put into prison. And by the way, when you're discouraged, it's a place of narrowness. Yes, sir. Hey, we like it when everybody's going good for us and everybody's happy and the crowds are responding. But boy, when you're in a place of confinement, narrow, don't know how to get out of your mess, I want to tell you something. That's where the devil wants you. Look here. Yeah. Boy, this here. I want y'all to see this. Look at verse number 2. It's also a place of confusion. Let me ask you a question. Who was it when he came to be baptized of John said this, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Not only was he confined, he was confused, because here's what he said now. Now, when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Dear God, he saw him face to face. He knew he was. You know, there's sometimes when that demonic discouragement comes to us, I'll tell you what happens to us. We get confused. We make the wrong decisions. We act like there ain't no God. I mean, he was in prison. He got confused. That's what the devil wants to do to everyone in this room. He wants to confuse you. He wants to get your mind all messed up. He wants to get you to stay out of church tonight because you're down and you're upset. Hey, there might be somebody listening to me on the live stream. You up there in the house drinking your coffee, down in the dumps, and you ought to be in the house of God, and you ought not let discouragement get you. Hey, by the way, you're confused. Somebody said, "Well, I can't come to church when I'm hurting, and I can't come to church when I'm down." Lord God, that's when you need it. Amen. Who in the world told you to camp out of the house tonight? I bet y'all was wondering what I was drinking while I was off sick. Somebody help me preach. Number two, I want you to notice this. I'm going to try to move on. Verse number three, the product of discouragement. The product, not only the place, but the product. Look at verse three. "And he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" I'll tell you what happens when you get discouraged. You start doubting. You start doubting. Yes, sir. I mean, when he said Jesus baptized him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." No doubt. How many of you right now are in the middle of something and you don't understand what you're going through? And you're confused about it and you're doubting. Come on now, don't down me right here. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to be confused. He wants you to be bewildered. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, there ain't no time to doubt now. There ain't no time to stop now. There ain't no time to get your eyes off of Jesus now. Right now, more than ever, we need to focus on Christ.
Yeah.
Man, I just got welcomed by COVID-19. God bless it. You can have it if you want it. I don't like it. And the devil crawled up on my shoulder. He don't talk all the way to me, but I know he'll speak to me. Here you go to a mission field. Go down there and give it all you got and come back with a virus. And try to mess with my mind. Come on now. You say, "That never happened to me." You're a liar. Try to mess with me. I said, "Hold me, devil. While you're telling me how gloomy and doom this is, let me remind you where you're going soon. You're going to hell. You're going to burn forever. You're going to be in the lake of fire. And every time he reminds you of something bad, you remind him of what's going to happen to him." Somebody help me preach. Ain't no time to doubt. You say, boy, I ain't had a fair shake at work. Do you think they're going to give you a fair shake at work? Do you think the world's going to give you a fair shake? Do you think the enemy is going to give you a fair shake? No, 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 no. But you stay for God. God's been good to you. God's watched over you. He blessed you. Oh, listen. This here's going to get right down the rubber meets the road here. Number two product, doubt, number one. But look at verse number three again. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Second thing doubt will do to you, or discouragement will do for you, make you doubt, but it also produce a detour. Or do we look for another? Ladies and gentlemen, there's just one Savior. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Somebody help. One mediator between God and man. Not the Pope, not Buddha, not Mohammed. No, Jesus. I'll tell you what people do. They do it. They take a detour in church. I'll tell you what they do. Well, I can't hardly handle that IFB preaching anymore. That preacher Smith, he just a tad crude. He's a little rough once in a while. I think I'm going to go down to the sissy church. And listen to me some contemporary music. And watch smoke come out of the altar. And some preacher say, whoo. Are you out of your mind? You better stay for God. You better stay in the right kind of church. You better do what's right. And you, hey, if you're out of church tonight and you're not sick and ain't nothing called you be out other than you're doubting and you're confused and you're discouraged, get yourself back in church and get right with God. You say, why are you so hard on them? I ain't here tonight. Listen to this. It produced a detour. People do it in churches. And by the way, they do it in their marriages. Let's just change partners. I want to give y'all a little marriage counsel right now. Marriage is not easy. Who said it was? But I want you to know, you won't get in trouble. Just get out of your marriage and go looking for something else. And you may think the grass is greener on the other side. I'll tell you what it is. There's sagebrush over there. There's thorns over there. Hello. But I'll tell you what. During this pandemic, I really think people have done lost their mind. I mean, I just need a new partner. That'll fix me. I'm tired of being married. Oh, look, what are you thinking there, sweetie? You ain't ready to get out because of a little toughness? Won't you be a man instead of my mouse? Somebody say good preaching or something, would you? I mean, I'm just going to trade them in. Oh, that's easy, say it. Why don't you just... Instead of letting discouragement and a little bit of trouble and a little bit of problem derail you tonight, get your eyes back on Jesus. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. I'll tell you what, not only do people do it, churches, marriages do it, change partners, but also pastors do it. Oh, come on now. I just need a change. I said, how long you been pastoring? Oh, about 17 months. And you need a change? I've been pastoring the same one for 43 years. For better or for worse, we stuck with each other. Because I ain't going nowhere. Don't y'all Don't y'all bow your head and say, oh, I'm sad. I'm going to tell you something. I'm in here for the long haul. Amen. Oh, there's probably pastors biting the dust almost every day. Somebody's either quitting or they done went and left the Word of God, left good music. Somebody help me preach. I mean, ain't no wonder a lot of church members are discouraged because preachers are acting like little babies. We all get discouraged. We all have to fight it. But listen, I read the back of the book. The devil's going to hell and we're going to heaven. Lastly, I'm done. Woo. Y'all all right? Now, if you came to church discouraged, I'm not mad at you. At least you're in church. And if you stayed out of church because you're discouraged, I'm not mad at you, but I wish you were here. But I hope you're getting what I preach. There is a prescription for discouragement. Look at verse number 4 and 5. Here's what we got to do when we get discouraged. How many of you, it's hit you before? I mean, somebody done you wrong, messed over you. We've all had that. But I'll tell you what'll get you encouraged is the past works of Jesus. Amen. Look what it said. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead hear, the dead are raised, or the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Woo! I tell you what you need to do to get out of your little slump, your doubt, your confusion. Here's what I want everybody to do. Just for a minute. Remember where God brought you from. Amen. How many remember the day you got saved? How many remember how good God's been when you've been in a trial and had all kinds of burdens and all kinds of heart? How many of you can remember his past works, how good he was? Hey, listen, when you cried yourself asleep, when there were problems bigger than you are, but God came on the scene and took you through, you ought to be shouting out tonight. You ought to be praising him tonight. Just look back at what he done. That's enough to get you out of discouragement. Then I lastly, this is the best. I'm about ready to scream on this one. Look down in verse number 10 and 11. You know, let me start at verse 8. You know, it's something. Now, older preachers like me don't get much of this. Boy, you're doing good. They know I'm doing good, but they don't tell me because they think I'm old enough and I don't need that. But I'll tell you what Jesus done about John. He started bragging on John. He started encouraging him. Yeah, he did. Look here. Look what Jesus said. What? Went ye out in the wilderness to see a reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send him my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before God, thy way before God. And look at verse number 11. I could just imagine those boys going back to John. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Them old boys went back. Not only does your past works encourage you, but a present witness Here's what Jesus said. Go tell John. Go tell John he's the greatest.
How about that?
Go tell John he's the man. Go tell John he's the best Christian in shoe leather. I want you to know something. There ain't nothing that lights the fire, John Smith, like knowing that God says in my soul, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. I tell you what, when Jesus starts bragging on you, and by the way, Jesus is happy with you tonight. You're in church. You're paying your tithes. You're trying to do right. You're fighting the devil. You know folks have messed over you. But listen to me tonight. Jesus said, you're the greatest. You're a good Christian. You love God. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. I can't hardly get off this point. Hey, John, Jesus just told me, you the greatest. Hey, Denny, Jesus just told me, you the greatest. Somebody shout tonight. Hey, Lynn, when the world's putting you down, when life is putting you down, when troubles are all around you, there's one in heaven that's got your back, who loves you, that never leave you nor forsake you. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your Master. He's your God. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Says a little preaching tonight. Bow your head with me. You go ahead and get ready to get baptized, honey. Come on now. I want everybody online and everybody in this church to fess up. How many of you came to church tonight at least a wee bit discouraged and the devil's been on your back and you want prayer? Slip your hand up. Just a wee bit. He's been beating on you. Come on. Sure. Stand with me. If you would you come around the altar tonight and say, I ain't going to let the devil win. Bring your wife in. I'm not going to let the devil win. I'm not stopping. I'm not putting her on pause. I'm going on for God. Why don't you come around the altar? Father, thank you for the good liberty, for the power of Christ. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Lord, I look back at all the mercy you've shown me, all the grace you've shown me. I'm so thankful. Now bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.